Right. You ready for the Word of God? Amen. We're so blessed. We have the Word of God, praise and worship each other, all the blessings of God. I tell you, being a child of God is awesome. Just had this song in my spirit all week. There is no God like our God. I think Lincoln Brewster sings it. There is no God like our God. There is no other who can save. And so I was just meditating on that, and I started reading in Isaiah because of a little pamphlet that I found that was written in 1957. It's called The Messiah in Both Testaments. And it's this man who gives all the prophecies of Jesus, messianic prophecies about Jesus, but he also talks a lot just about prophecy and how important prophecy is. So as I was thinking about it, and I was reading in Isaiah, all throughout Isaiah, especially chapters 40 through like 46, you'll continue to hear God himself say through the prophet Isaiah, I am God, and there is no other. He says it over and over and over and over again in the book of Isaiah. He declares through his prophet Isaiah, there is no other God besides me. I am a just God and a Savior, he says. There is none besides me. Now we know in our heart that he's the one true God. There is no other God. He's above all gods. In every single characteristic and every one of his attributes, he is above all gods. There is no other God like him. Amen? But today I want to focus on just one attribute of his many attributes that sets him apart from and far above every other god and religion or philosophy that is known to man, and that is the attribute of prophecy, which simply is his ability to predict in his word future events without any mistakes and with very specific details. No other god does that. No other religion even tries to do that. But his word is full of prophecies that have already been fulfilled and prophecies that are guaranteed to be fulfilled in our lifetime and in eternity. Again, Isaiah 45:22, he says, look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. That's God's heart. That all the ends of the earth, every person from every tribe, tongue, and nation would look to him, cry out to him, put their faith in Jesus and be saved. Why? He says, for I am God, and there is no other. There is no other God. There is no other Savior. There is no other one who can save you from sin, the power of sin, the penalty of sin in your life. So prophecy is just so awesome. I think that we've kind of maybe lost sight of that or never really understood how important it is, and I believe how important it is for us to study prophecy, the ones that have been fulfilled already and the ones that are still yet to be fulfilled. Fulfilled prophecy is unique to the Bible. This is what this man said in his little pamphlet. The fact of fulfilled prophecy is found in the Bible alone. It presents proof of divine inspiration that is positive, conclusive, and overwhelming. Here is the argument in brief. There is no man unaided by divine inspiration. No man unaided by divine inspiration foreknows the future, for it is an impenetrable wall. It's a true iron curtain to all mankind. In other words, no man can do that on his own. I know there have been many people like Nostradamus and all these other people who think they can predict the future. They may have got one or two guesses right, but But they were never absolutely perfectly right on everything that they ever said would happen. God is always 100% correct, absolutely perfect on every single detail of prophecy. It all happens exactly when he said it would happen, where he said it would happen, how he said it would happen. Always every specific detail. Only an almighty and all-knowing God can infallibly predict the future. If then one can find true prophecy, as we do in the Bible, with definite fulfillment, with sufficient time intervening between the prediction and the fulfillment, and with explicit details in the prediction to assure that the prophecies are not clever guesses, then the case is perfect, unanswerable, case shut. You understand what that's what he's saying there? Explicit details, predictions. And not only, you know, God doesn't just prophesy and it happens the next day. There are some that happen that way, that if you read through some of the different stories, I think Saul, when Saul met Samuel and Samuel told him these things are going to happen, the next day he went, he met priests, he met the prophets, Saul himself started prophesying. Those all happened like within 24 hours of getting the prophecy. But the prophecy, I mean, some of the prophecies take 400 years, 500 years. Remember, there was 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Before Jesus came, there was 400 years. 700 years, Isaiah prophesied the virgin birth. So there are many. Some happen right away, but that's what makes it even more amazing, that even though it was prophesied, 400 years later, it happens exactly the way God said it would happen. And in the details he gives, he doesn't just guess and give little vague details. He always gives the exact place, the exact time, and he moves men and women and circumstances around to make it happen. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's the only one that could ever do that. Many prophecies, of course, are older than 400, like we said. During the period of the 1,100 years, from the age of Moses to that of Malachi, a succession of prophets arose. Messianic predictions took form, and all of them testified of the Messiah who was to come. So minute and so voluminous are these Old Testament predictions, and so complete is their fulfillment in the New Testament, that Dr. A.T. Pearson says, there would be no honest infidel in the world were messianic prophecy studied. Think about that. If people really took the time to figure out God's prophecies, especially the ones concerning the messianic about Jesus, and see how God fulfilled 333. Do you know that Jesus fulfilled 333 messianic prophecies to the exact detail? And the odd of him fulfilling one or two of them is just astronomical, the figure that they give you. If him just fulfilling two of those or three of those is astronomical. He fulfilled 333 of them. So this guy's saying, if people just studied all those, there wouldn't be any non-Christians left. There wouldn't be any unbelievers left. They would see how true it is, that only God could do this and that Jesus is the Messiah. But I like this that he says too. Nor would there be any doubting disciples. Did you get that? That's how important it is to study prophecy, especially the messianic prophecies about Jesus. In Luke 24, Jesus told them, remember after the resurrection, study the Psalms, the prophets, and Moses, the Old Testament, and learn about all the prophecies that talk about my death, burial, and resurrection. They were so important. I believe not only were they important so that they wouldn't doubt anymore, but they were important to be able to share the gospel and to be able to tell people how awesome our God is, and that there is no other God like our God. If you could just rattle off all those prophecies and show people, look, Jesus, how Jesus fulfilled them to the T, each one of them, people would be totally amazed. I mean, we know that it only happens by the Holy Spirit and through faith and by grace. But there's a powerful, powerful message there. It would make our message to people, the gospel, even that much more powerful. But the key thing is that we would not be doubting. I like what he says here. There wouldn't be any doubting disciples if this fact of prediction and for the fulfillment of them were fully understood by us. He says, here indeed is God's rock of ages, faith's unshakable standing place. When you study all of the prophecies and you know them and you see what God has done throughout history, how he's been faithful to bring prophecy after prophecy after prophecy to fulfillment, your faith is going to be absolutely strong. Your faith is going to be unshakable, I believe, because you know what he's done in the past. You know who your God is, and you know that he is God alone, and there is no other God like our God. Prophecy is God's own method of proving his truth. I really like what he has to say here. Whoa. The teachings of the Bible are so peculiar and different from all other religions and so important. They tell us that man's eternal destiny for blessing or for misery depends on his acceptance of the Christ of the Bible. That we have the right to know whether the Bible is or is not a heavenly decree, the absolute and final word of God, whether its message is fully authorized by the Almighty. Listen to this. He says, if God has given a revelation of his will in the Bible, there can be no doubt that in some unmistakable way he will show men that the Bible is indeed his revealed will. And the way that he has chosen to show men that the Bible is his word is a way that all men of average intelligence can understand. And that way is through the giving and through the fulfillment of specific detailed prophecies. Isn't that cool? It is the divine seal, letting all men know that he is God alone, and that he really has spoken. That seal can never be counterfeited, affixed to the truth, which it demonstrates, for his foreknowledge of the actions of free and intelligent agents, men, is one of the most incomprehensible attributes of deity and is exclusively a divine perfection. In other words, when men read this and they see how God moved all of, predicted these things, prophesied these things, and brought them to fulfillment by the way that he moved and orchestrated men in all of the societies and throughout all the world, it's incomprehensible. And it just simply says, no one could do that but God. It's a divine perfection. Only he can do that. Remember, again in Isaiah 41, 21 through 23. You can turn to Isaiah if you want. We're going to be in Isaiah 40 through 45 probably. Remember when Isaiah challenged the false gods? Or actually, it's God challenging the false gods of Isaiah's times. Because a prophet, remember, is God's mouthpiece. So God is simply speaking this through his prophet Isaiah. In challenging the false gods of Isaiah's times, the true God said, go ahead, produce your cause. Let's see you bring forth some strong reasons. Show us what shall happen. Why don't you declare to us some things that will come? Show us things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you really are gods. So God's saying, look, God's telling all those little false gods and idols that they have, look, if you guys are really gods, then do what I can do. Give a prophecy and fulfill it with every exact specific detail. Come on, he's saying, tell us something that you can do. They can't do it. No other religion even tries to do it. There are false faiths like Mohammedism and Buddhism that have tried to prop up their claims on pretended miracles But neither of these, nor any other religion in history of the world, except the Bible, ever ventured to frame prophecies, to build prophecies and say, look, this is exactly how it's going to happen, and then make them happen. No other religion in the world does that. Only the Bible. It's only in God's Word. Why? It is the peculiar glory of the Almighty, the all-knowing God, who is the Lord Creator, to declare new things before they spring forth. Only He can do that. And that glory He will not share with another, He says in Isaiah 42:8. The true God alone foreknows and foretells the future, and He has chosen to confine His foretelling to the pages of Scripture. Though there are many other subjects of divine prophecy in the Bible, such as the Jews, the Gentile nations that surrounded Israel, ancient cities, the church, the last days, the divine perfections of foreknowledge and fulfillment can be seen better in the realm of prophecies concerning Christ than in any other sphere. Here is a clear statement that God alone, in the Bible alone, gave true prophecies. This is from Isaiah 45, verses 9 and 10. Again, this is what God says about His prophecies. Isaiah 45, 9 and 10. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Did you catch that? Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So what God is saying there is that He alone can give and fulfill prophecy. He's the only one who can do that. And that is to be found alone in the Bible. It's found in many places in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Then in Deuteronomy 18, verses 21 and 22, He tells us how to distinguish false prophets. Very simple. If you say in your heart, well, how shall we know the word which the Lord has spoken? Is this really from the Lord? When a prophet, this is the answer, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the things does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. That is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. This is what Justin Martyr said about prophecy. To declare a thing shall come to pass long before it has even come into being is nothing but the work of God and God alone who can do that. Amen? So let's look at some prophecies. We're turn to Isaiah 44. Next week, I'm going to focus on all the messianic prophecies about Jesus, and we'll get into some of those. But I chose to just go ahead and do these in Isaiah because it goes with the title of my message. This is where he constantly, over and over, just says, I am God alone. There is no other God beside me. I am God. I am Savior. There is none else who can save you. Come to me, and I will save you. And I chose this because it's about Cyrus, too. I'll just share a little bit about, you know, America and some of the words that came forth about Trump. So just to kind of encourage us for our nation today. Isaiah 44, let's read verses 24 through 28. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and He who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers, I like that, or false prophets. And I drive diviners, I would call fortune tellers, mad. I turn wise men backward and make their knowledge look foolish. And listen to, this is a modern version of Isaiah 44:26. But the Lord sends His servants to tell his message to the people, and then he makes those messages come true. He's the only one that does that. Amen? Who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, to the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places. Who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers. Who says to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. Again, Isaiah, who prophesied and lived from about 740 to 681 BC, literally calls Cyrus by his name 150 years before it ever happens. How awesome is that? Isn't that awesome? Later, historians said that Cyrus read this prophecy and was so moved that he carried it out. Isaiah also predicted that Jerusalem would fall more than 100 years before it happened, and that the temple would be rebuilt about 200 years before it ever happened. It is clear these prophecies come from God only, who knows the future. Let's go to chapter 45. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob's servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. 150 years before. I have named you, listen to this, though you have not known me. Isn't that awesome? I am the Lord, and there is no other. Here he goes again. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun till its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Over and over and over, he keeps saying that. And we declare that he is God, he is the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God like our God. Hallelujah. This is the only place in the Bible where a Gentile ruler is said to be anointed. Remember in verse 1 there it said, God said, I anoint you. The Gentile ruler. The only place where that happens. Why? Because God is the power over all rulers. And he anoints whom he chooses for his special tasks. Which is why I want to share a little bit about President Trump. I wanted to share those verses because they're so powerful about Cyrus. And many of, do you know who gave the word about Trump becoming president? Was that Kim Clement or one of them? Anyhow, there were several people who knew that Trump was going to be president, and they said that he would be a type of Cyrus. Lance Wallnau. So that is just awesome. I just want to say that to encourage you, because if you watch the news and all the things that are happening to him, you can get really upset and really shook up and maybe even depressed. But there is no God like our God. If those guys were true prophets, then guess what? We don't have to worry about anything, right? Doesn't mean we don't have to still pray for him, but we don't have to worry about what those people are trying to do to him. Right, because he said, what he said to Cyrus is so powerful. What he said to Cyrus is, no one's going to defeat you. No one's going to stop you. I'm going to open doors for you. And you've seen, have you not seen God open doors for Trump and do things for him that he has really never done for no other president? So I just think it's kind of cool and encouraging. That's why I wanted to to read these prophecies today. So just never, you know, that's how awesome our God is. When he speaks a word, it's guaranteed, as Pastor Harvey would say. Amen? And that's all there is to it. It's just guaranteed, and no one can stop it from happening. Verse 40, or chapter 45, let's go to verse 19. I just love this too. I just love this one, this first verse here. God says, hey, I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. In other words, he didn't just whisper it and say, oh, maybe I don't want anybody to hear this because maybe it's not going to happen. You know, maybe it won't come true. He shouts it forth, what's going to happen. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. Why? Because I, the Lord, speak righteousness and truth. I declare things that are right. Verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from the ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Let's go to chapter 46 now. Hold on. 23, verse 23 of chapter 45. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, in case you wanted to know where this verse came from in Philippians, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. Isn't that a great thing to say? In the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. That includes us when he's talking. That's, you can just say God's people there. That's Israel and God's people, those who have accepted Messiah. All right, now let's go to chapter 46. Verse 3. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all who are left of my people. Listen to me, Word of Victory Church. He says, I have cared for you from the time when you were born. I am your God, and I'll take care of you until you're old and your hair is gray. And you can add to that for eternity, because we know about eternal life now. Amen? I made you, and I will care for you. I will give you help and deliver you. I will rescue you. Then I love this. He asked the question, to whom will you compare me, says the Lord? Is there anyone else like me? And we emphatically say, no, there is no God like our God. People open their purses and pour out gold. They weigh out silver on the scales. Then they hire a goldsmith to make a god for them. Then they bow down and worship it. They lift it on their shoulders and they carry it. They put it in a place and there it stands. It can't move for them. They pray to it, but it can't answer them, or it can't even save them from any disasters. Remember this, you sinners. That's what it says in there. Not talking to us. You can put it in there. Remember this, my children. Consider what I have done. Remember what happened long ago. Acknowledge that I alone am God. He wants us to always acknowledge that. acknowledge that I alone am God and that there is no one else like me. Why? Because from the beginning I predicted the outcome. Long ago I foretold what would happen. I said that my plans would never fail, that I would do everything I intended to do. You can take that to the bank. That's guaranteed. And that's why it's so important for us to understand and study prophecy. You know, when we hear the word prophecy, I think a lot of us just think end times a lot of times now. But there's the whole Bible is filled with prophecy, God's spoken word. And the more we understand how awesome he is, how faithful he is to fulfill all of his word, I believe the more it will strengthen our faith and make our faith even more unshakable. No matter what we're going through or our nation's going through, remember, there is no God like our God. There is none who compares with him. God is always faithful to do what he has promised us. He will do through his prophets. Whatever he's promised through those prophets and through the word, he's going to do it for us. We just heard that in the verse in chapter 46 of Isaiah. Every prophecy given by God and his word to his people will be fulfilled right down to the smallest detail. Again, that's why it's so important for us to study prophecy, especially those that are concerned our future, because they're going to give you the most incredible rest, the most incredible peace, the most incredible hope, the most incredible strength to go through anything that this world would even try to put us through. He said, I, the Lord, speak righteousness and truth. I declare things that are right, and I will do everything that I told you I will do. Listen, what's his track record so far in fulfilling his prophecies? 100% perfect. It will never change. He will never say, oops, I missed that one. Not going to happen. And this is where our faith needs to be. In his word. And then we'll be unshakable in all the circumstances of life. We can receive incredible hope, courage, peace, and victory when we spend time with him in his word, learning about the prophecies, putting our faith and trust in his words that he gives to us, because he has declared from ancient time to his people, there is no other God besides me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth and all my people, for I am God and there is no other. Amen? Amen. So Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your prophetic word. We thank you for the prophecies, Lord. And we want to study them more and more. Lord, help us to stand on that sure word of prophecy. Help us to understand more and more about how you work through your prophetic word, Lord. Let us read all the prophecies, those that have been fulfilled already in Messiah, those which are still to come, so that we can just be filled with you. And so we can share it. So we can take that incredible, unbelievable, indescribable miracles that you do when you prophesy and you bring them to fulfillment and share that with others, Lord, so that it can help them come to know you. So we thank you for it, and we just know that as we study the Word of God, that it also will make our faith unshakable and it will build us up. And it will be like Jesus told the disciples after the resurrection to when we study all the things concerning his death, burial, and resurrection, it's going to help us never to doubt. And again, help us to be able to share that with many other people as we share the gospel with them to see them come to Christ. So we thank you for this day. We declare that there really is no, you are God alone, and that we acknowledge that. There is no one who compares to you. You are our God. You are our Savior. We love you. We praise you. And we're here to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.